If you want to follow the reading, it is the very near the end of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 12. It's not a very common Christmas reading, but you'll discover during the sermon how it does fit in. It's really a look behind the scenes into the spiritual realities in the heavenly places. Revelation chapter 12. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with a moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, in which she is to be nourished for 1,260 days. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short." And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the woman was given the 2 wings of the great eagle, so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness, to the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and half a time. The serpent poured out water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with a flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from his mouth. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would even now open up our hearts and our minds to receive the comfort of the great news of your Son, Christ, born to be King. In Jesus' name, Amen. As Martin said, this is a bit of an unusual Christmas reading. It's highly symbolic language. It's a behind-the-scenes documentary of the first Christmas and every Christmas and all time since then. And it's not your typical nativity scene. There's a dragon kicking around, and the carols in the background even sound a little different. Here's one I found. "Silent night, violent night, hell and heaven meet to fight. But for all the weirdness, for all the unusual feeling of this chapter, Revelation 12 has got great Christmas news for you and for me. And the great Christmas news of this chapter is very simple. It's this: if you put your trust in Jesus, if you are trusting him, you are totally secure. This night, and every day and night till the end of time. How can that be when all the world is in change and chaos, and the newspaper headlines continue to distress us? Well, you and I are secure, firstly, because, verses 1 to 6, the King has been born. The King has been born. If you're following along, the woman's description in verses 1 to 2 comes from the Old Testament, and it would identify her, for John's first listeners, as the Old Testament people of God. And as we focus in on her, the camera immediately cuts to verse 4, the Bethlehem local maternity ward, the hospital. And as Jesus is about to be born, coming from God's people, the doctors gather round to deliver the baby, and one of the doctors looks just a little weird. The white coat doesn't quite fit him. He has a tail kicking out of his back. He looks like he's been horribly burnt in the sun, and his teeth are very, very sharp, and there's a lot of them. Verse 4, the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. What John is doing is he's giving us a behind-the-scenes look at what was going on when Jesus was born. And behind all that we know about King Herod trying to kill Jesus, John says, behind all of that, there was a dragon, claws outstretched, jaw open wide, looking to devour God's promised Saviour. Another rewritten carol for you. Hark the herald angels sing, a dragon wants to eat our king. And at this point, if you feel like Christmas is a particularly trying time of year, tempers flare up, things go wrong, temptations everywhere, well, these verses tell us that shouldn't be a surprise. The devil, God's enemy, hates Christmas. He hated the very first Christmas. He's hated every Christmas since then. But even as the devil stands there ready to devour this helpless little baby, the good news is that the Messiah isn't on the menu. Verse 5, she gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But a child was caught up to God and to his throne. Other authors in the Bible, when they talk about the Lord Jesus becoming man, emphasize his helplessness. Little baby boy, totally dependent, totally needy. Here, John emphasizes Jesus' absolute power. He does that by quoting from a psalm in the Old Testament where God the Father promises that his son will rule the nations, all the nations, with a rod of iron. And then John skips over Jesus' infancy, his life and his death, and even his resurrection, and lands at the end of verse 5 with Jesus ascending to heaven. That little baby boy born in the manger is right now not stuck in some grave, but sits at God's right hand on his throne, his heavenly throne. And so the great news of verses 1 to 6 is that you and I are secure because the King has been born. The King rules right now over all the world from his throne, and any rebellion from earth or from hell is pottery against his righteous rod of iron. Here is a king who can sort things out. And that's good news, because as we continue in this chapter, we see that a war, a spiritual war, has broken out. In verse 7, it's not following on chronologically. Think match of the day or Sportschau or something. You get the same goal from different angles, the same match repeated. What we have here is war arising, verse 7. Now war arose in heaven. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought back. Except the war's over really quickly. This is no Hollywood blockbuster. There's no long panorama view of weapons being sharpened and armies being deployed and brutal hand-to-hand combat. No, as soon as the forces of heaven and hell meet, it's over. Verse 8. But he was defeated. Can't make a movie out of that. And even though in verse 9 the devil, God's enemy, is such a formidable foe, you know, he's an experienced professional murderer. He's a worldwide deceiver. Go up against him in your own strength, you'll lose. Well, even despite all of that, the big headline is he was defeated. And five times we're told he has been thrown down. Verse 9, thrown down. And again at the end, thrown down. And again at the end, thrown down. The devil didn't slip. He didn't lose his footing. He has been thrown down. God himself threw the devil down and defeated him. And more wonderfully than that, it was God himself in the person of his son. That hand that threw the devil down to ultimate defeat was God's hand clothed in human flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that from verse 11. We see that the devil has been conquered by the blood of the Lamb, more picture language for Jesus' death. So that as Jesus dies, his hand stretches out, God clothed in flesh, and pulls the devil down to defeat and destruction, never to rise again. The devil's days are numbered. His time is short. Evil does not get the last word. Celebrating Christmas and the birth of Christ is not shoving our head in the sand and crossing our fingers that one day maybe things will be better. It is absolute confidence. The devil has been defeated. And what about God's church? Well, look at verse 10. Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them night and day before our God, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. Day and night, the devil, that foul dragon, throws that accusation against us. And God does not give him ear. He has thrown him down. And what about us? Suffering and sinning, attacked and angefochten on every side, we conquer. We conquer. Through the blood of Christ shed on our behalf, we conquer over everything the devil throws at us. Even ultimately, there in verse 11, even ultimately, if the devil takes us to the grave, one of us walks out. It's not the devil, he stays there. The Christian walks out of his grave into resurrection. So this gives us great comfort at Christmas, doesn't it? You and I are secure because the king has been born, because the devil is defeated, and then finally, briefly, because the church is preserved. That's the big idea from the end of the chapter in verses 13 to 17. The church is preserved. Admittedly, in verse 12, it's kind of lined up with not such good news. Woe to those on the earth, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, for he knows his time is short. That explains so many newspaper headlines, doesn't it? With the clock counting down, time running out, seconds ticking away, the devil is on one last rampage, out to trash the world before his time is up. And his personal hunt, his personal preferred target, the church. That woman at the beginning of the chapter who represented God's Old Testament people now represents God's New Testament people in these verses. Those who hold to God's commandments and the testimony of Jesus in verse 17. And in these verses, we see that the devil pursues us. The devil pursued, verse 13, the woman who had given birth to the male child. Verse 15, he pours water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with a flood. Poetic language, picture language, but the point is clear. It's hunting time. Verse 17, the dragon became furious and went off to make war. But even as all hell breaks loose against God's believing people, against every Christian, we are miraculously and wonderfully preserved. Verse 6, we are nourished, preserved, cared for. 1260 days, the length of time until Jesus returns. Again, more symbolic language. Verse 14, that God gives the woman eagle's wings to fly into the wilderness, where again we're told God nourishes his people. And then verse 16, even though the devil might unleash a flood against us, God's earth stands at God's command to help us. So do you see the big picture there? Come hell and high water, if you're trusting Jesus, you are absolutely secure this Christmas. Because the devil's been defeated, because Christ the King has been born, because God preserves his believing church. Here is the Apostle John's behind-the-scenes nativity. And as you think maybe of unwrapping presents, either you've done it this afternoon, maybe you will this evening when you go home, or you'll do tomorrow, what does the dragon get for Christmas? What's his Christmas present? A mouthful of smashed teeth, a face full of judgment, and the tick, tick, tick of his short time running out, his destruction approaching. And what do you and I get for Christmas? Security. Christ the King. A certain salvation. God's power preserving us and keeping us until we stand on those beautiful shores of God's new creation world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for this look behind the scenes into ultimate reality. Oh, Heavenly Father, we do praise you that Christmas does mean that that battle between good and evil will not continue forever, but that the one born in a manger, who died upon a cross, even now sits on the throne. He has triumphed. We praise you for his conquest. We praise you for the devil's defeat. We praise you that even now, even though at times it feels like hell on earth is breaking out, that you do most kindly and miraculously preserve us. Write these glorious truths upon our hearts this Christmas, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.